So we're in a series right now entitled Misquoted, and we're looking at some of those most common misquotes. And today, we're going to talk about this one. Don't judge me. Just before we do that, though, I want to let you know that a huge, important day is coming. It's Easter Sunday. It's going to be on April 17th. And a couple things to let you know about. We're adding an extra service there, an 8 a.m. service. And typically, it's a day where a lot of folks join us, maybe when they don't, you know, other times of the year. And so we want to create some space. If you're able to come at that 8 a.m. service, that would be helpful. If you can set the alarm extra early on a Sunday morning. And I would also say this about Easter Sunday, and I just want to encourage you to invite somebody to come with you. And they're going to hear about who Jesus is and the difference that he makes and about putting faith and trust in him. And I believe that people are just open, especially at that time, to receive that invitation. So I just encourage you to do that. Our kids are also going all out, and there's going to be amazing things that are happening in our children's ministry that day. And so if you have kids or you know people in your neighborhood who have kids, tremendous opportunity, the same three service times there, and those kids are going to have a blast, and they're also going to hear and understand who Jesus is and what difference it makes. One other thing that's going to happen on Easter Sunday is we're going to give you an opportunity to respond to the need of the Ukrainian refugee crisis. This last week, I went to Eastern Poland with one of our staff members who does our video stuff here to capture some of that. And we were really close to the border there. And our main goal was, how can we get the generosity of Washington Heights 100% directly to the people who need it the most? And we believe that we've discovered a way to do that. Right now, the greatest need they have is food and medical supplies. And so clothing and things like that are not needed, not necessary. And one of the best ways that we can do that here is to have you give toward that and for them to get it there. And there's even an opportunity. They have a thing called buy a pallet of food. And so we're going to be more specific about that on Easter Sunday and share with you a little bit. You're going to get to see and hear from some of the people who are involved in that. I'll just tell you this. So we went to a church that's right across the border, and all the pews, you know, they have the big, you know, long kind of benches, and they were all stacked up in the front, and on the floor where you're sitting was all mats and blankets and pillows. And about 150 people every night come to that church, get fed, get whatever supplies they need. The whole church is packed with all kinds of supplies. And then the next day, they go off, and that next evening, another group comes, and it's just this line of people getting out of harm's way and getting to safety. And we have an opportunity to help those people on that journey. And stay tuned for that. And on Easter Sunday, we'll let you know how. So let's turn our attention to the message for today. So misquoted, don't judge me. Somebody has said this has become, in our day, the most quoted Bible verse. And it used to be John 3:16, and I don't know if you're familiar with that. They used to hold it up at all the football games, the reference there. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. We've shifted to don't judge me. And we're going to see where that comes from here in just a moment. And it's going to be from the words of Jesus. And I think what we're going to see today is not so much that it's misquoted. There's a little bit of that. But it is misunderstood, and I believe especially misapplied. So let's jump in. And Matthew chapter 7, Jesus speaking, judge not that you be not judged. And we say, well, that's pretty clear. And how many exceptions does Jesus give on this day to that? And the answer is, well, none. It's pretty exclusive. It's pretty complete. But what exactly does it mean? For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. What is Jesus talking about when he's talking about judging in this context? And there are different shades of meaning that come along with this. Let me give it to you in the form of an example. So you go to the dentist, and you're going to get a checkup at the dentist. So you have your mouth open, it looks in there, and all kinds of, you know, different things are done. And at the end of that time, if the dentist says this to you, you know, I see that, you know, we got to do some cleaning, and there's a cavity or two in there, and it would really be good if you flossed a little bit more, right? Would we consider that being judged? And I think the answer then is, well, no. That's their job, is to do that. And what they're sharing with us, even if we don't necessarily like to hear it in that moment, it's some reality that we need to understand, that they can share with us, maybe even that we don't see in ourselves. But if that same dentist did all of those things, and then what if they said this? You know, I looked at your mouth, and man, those teeth are yellow, gnarly, and what you're practicing is not oral hygiene, it is oral logene, and you need to get your act together. In fact, you are a despicable, reprehensible human being on a subpar level. Is that being judged? Yeah, I would recommend you find a new dentist, right? Because that's not why you go there. And what Jesus is talking about with not judging is that second scenario, where we look at something, just a little snippet, and we come to some overwhelming conclusion that robs somebody of their value, their God-given value. It's where we assign to them a place of condemnation and write them off. But there are times and ways in which we are called to make judgment. And what we mean by that is discernment and wisdom and some evaluation of behavior, but never judging in the sense of robbing someone of their God-given value. So when we talk about this, you know, should we never make wise judgments? Well, of course we should. Should we never evaluate anything? Well, of course we should. And I'll tell you, Jesus, in that same section even, just a couple of verses later, says this, "Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you." Now, he's not talking literally about dogs and pigs. He's using a metaphor, and he's talking about a kind of person who is not open and receptive to spiritual things, and how would we know that if we're not making some sort of evaluation? And he's saying there are some times when people are so close, you know what, don't even go there. And that's remarkable because Jesus made it real clear, who matters to God? Everybody. Who does God want having a relationship with him? Everybody. But sometimes hearts can be so closed that he says, just don't do it. Just not the time, not the place. And other places in the Bible, it also talks about making some wise, discerning evaluation. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and needy. Well, how would you know when that needs to take place if you're not making some sort of evaluation? And so, yeah, is there a place in which we need to understand things and maybe respond in the right ways? Absolutely, that is the case. One more example, give justice to the weak and the fatherless, maintain the right of the afflicted and destitute. How would we know that if we were not making some sort of evaluation? But never, based on just a few behaviors, putting somebody in a category of being off limits, of being condemned, of robbing them of their God-given value. So we're going to take this message in two parts. The first part of it, we're going to look at why judging others is dangerous, and then we're going to talk a little bit, based on Jesus' words, about how can we get this right. So the first reason why judging others is dangerous is because we don't know the full story. And so we see somebody doing something, or we hear somebody saying something, and it might be easy to jump to the conclusion, oh, well, they're, you know, one of those people. You know, there's somebody who is, you know, part of this, that, and the other thing. But could it be that maybe we just don't even see where they're coming from? And sometimes those of us who grew up in homes that were stable and that experienced love, and sometimes, you know, even some of the disagreements that come out of that, but learned how to navigate some of that, when we see people maybe who have not experienced that, we should be thankful for what we had, but it's so easy to make it more about writing them off. Could it be that maybe somebody's coming out of an abusive situation and maybe we don't even know what that experience is like? Maybe somebody's coming from complete dysfunction and isn't even familiar with where boundaries might be, and we just don't see the entire picture of where they're coming from. Jesus uses the word judge, and it is the Greek word krano, and it's the word from which we get our English word criticize, but it's a stronger version of that where we condemn. We write them off. We put them in a category of those who are off limits, and we've gotten there by just looking at a little bit and making a final conclusion. But what Jesus is not talking about that day is making moral discernment. There is a place for that. He's not talking about being wise, exercising judgment, or being mistreated. Jesus is also not saying, hey, if you're in an abusive situation, you just stay there. That's not what he's talking about either. And there are times and ways in which we need to evaluate those things, and it's often very difficult. It's very hard. But we don't see the biggest picture. Another reason why judging others is dangerous, we invite God's judgment on ourselves. And this is directly from Jesus' words. Judge not that you not be judged, for with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure, I'm going to blame it on the jet lag, we got back Friday. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And so in other words, Jesus is saying, how do you want to be judged? Well, however that is, that's what you should be giving to other people. Let me give you an example of something like that. Years ago, back on the East Coast, had to go to the DMV one day. And back there, you would drive up to a building and you'd kind of drive your car through there and they check different things, the lights, the brakes, the alignment, and all that sort of stuff. And either you passed or failed. And you knew that when you were going to DMV, there could be a huge long line and it could be half a day kind of thing there. So take a lunch and all that. So I remember driving up to the DMV and I think, wow, the line's really short. There are only like several cars there and a little bit of space. So I just kind of pull in behind that last one. I think, oh, you know, I'm going to be out of here before you know it. About 10 minutes later, there's a knock on my window. 10 seconds later, there's a knock on my window. I'm like, yeah, what's up? He's like, the line goes back there and around the corner. And sure enough, I looked. They'd left a gap so that the traffic could go through. I cut the line. And so I'm like, okay, you know, sorry about that. I didn't see that. And so I roll up the window, back up my car, and I'm going to go. And sure enough, it's like three blocks there, and it was going to be a half a day. You know the worst part of that whole experience? I had to drive past all the people who saw me cut the line. And they're looking at me like, idiot, moron, jerk. I want to like hang the sign out the side, right? I didn't know. I just, you know, I didn't cut on purpose. I didn't see the line back there. That's what I want when it's my turn. I want people to extend some mercy and some grace to me. Now, fast forward from that day, a couple years, and driving with my wife and our brand new baby daughter. And she's in a car seat, and we're driving along. All of a sudden, somebody pulls right out in front of me, and I got to jam on the brakes. And, I mean, we came really close, and I was hot. And I'm gesturing and I'm yelling at the windshield, thinking somehow that's gonna, you know, be heard by this person. And I could tell that they were looking in their rearview mirror and could see me, and I was glad to have that, right? I wanted them to know that I was angry, I was upset, because after all, you endangered not only me, but my daughter who matters so much to me. And then at one point, this lady who was driving turns around and mouths the words, I'm sorry. And I was screaming. And I looked over at my wife feeling very justified, and my wife was literally face in hand, embarrassed. It's easy, right, when it's somebody else to be really hard. But when it's my turn, what do I want? And Jesus' point here is that whatever you want, that's what you should give. And how is it that we want God to evaluate, to judge us? Jesus also said this at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, same message, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And if we want to receive mercy, what do we need to do? We need to give mercy. But it's real easy to create those real hard lines based on just a little bit of information, and I don't see the bigger picture. And could it be also that I'm inviting some of God's judgment upon me? Third reason why it is dangerous to judge others, we have a bad case of plankitis. Have you been diagnosed with plankitis? And before you run to WebMD there on your phone, here's where that comes from. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do you not notice the log that is in your own eye? And what Jesus is talking about here and what he's casting for us is this ridiculous picture about having this huge issue in your own life, but then pointing out the little issue that's in somebody else's life. And I was going to get a log, but I haven't gone to the gym enough, so I have a 2x4 up here. And Jesus' picture is kind of like this. You know, I got this 2x4 sticking out of my eye, but I'm going to look at you, and I'm going to tell you all the issues that you have. And how much does that happen in this world of ours? And it's so much easier for me to see the issues in you than it is to see the issues in me. And so what's the call? What is Jesus inviting us to do? There's this cool word, it's an older word, it's in some of the older translations. It's called long-suffering. And it means that we journey together with each other, because you notice everybody in this verse has something. And what it means is that we're called to journey together. And the standard is never that in this world we're going to experience perfection. That's just not the way that it is. But how easy it is to see the faults in everybody else and think, I got it going on, when I got a log sticking out of my own eye. And how many times have we done that, where we see the issues in everybody else, but me, I don't have any issues. And Jesus is pointing out the ridiculous look, the bad look of that whole scenario. How do we know that maybe we have plankitis? What are some of the symptoms of that? You think fans of football teams other than your own are inferior species? I recognize some of these may apply to some of us more than others. In traffic, you regularly refer to drivers as morons, jerks, idiots, or worse. You think that there is no way a person can love Jesus and be a liberal or a conservative. And you see grown men playing Candy Crush, Angry Birds, or Solitaire on their iPhone in the airport, and you immediately judge them. That one should be okay, all right? Because pick up a book or something, you know? I mean, there's something to learn. So, it's dangerous to judge. Judge meaning to condemn people, to rob them of their value. But I think, you know, maybe a better question too is, how do we get this right? What does that look like? First way is to start with yourself. And again, people who walk around with planks sticking out of their own eye, we like to start with somebody else rather than ourselves. But here are Jesus' words. And isn't it interesting when he says, we're walking around with that plank and we see the speck and we want to go after the speck in somebody else's eyes? What does he call that? You hypocrite. Ouch. But sometimes we need to hear the reality. First, take the log out of your own eye. Start with yourself. And then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. We do journey together. There are things that go in both directions, but where do we begin? We begin here. We begin with ourselves. Second way to get this right is to offer honest help to trusted friends when needed. There is a place where we engage together within the context of trusted relationships, where maybe my friend can see in me what I cannot see in myself, because sometimes I can't even see the log in my own eye. But maybe somebody else can. And they don't do it as a way of condemnation. They do it as a way of bringing help, of healing, of moving forward. But that can be a difficult place, and the temptation can be in those moments when we hear something that we do not like to say, don't judge me. Because after all, Jesus said, don't judge. But could it be in those moments that there is something of value? And it's not condemnation, but it's help. But it doesn't feel like help or it doesn't sound like help in that moment, but that's exactly what it is. In the Bible, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and we don't have time to look at what comes before this, but in this particular church in a city called Corinth, there was a situation unfolding, a relational sexual situation that would even be shocking in today's terms in our culture. And the Apostle Paul, who writes this letter, says that deal with it and deal with the person who's involved in that. And then right after giving that instruction, he says, for what have I to do with judging outsiders? See, the things of God are not a way to get ammunition to tell everybody around us why they are missing, God's mark. They haven't even signed up for God, much less the things of God. Is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge, not condemn, but there are times to evaluate behavior and to respond in ways that are helpful, where the goal is restoration, the goal is healing, the goal is to come alongside. And it sounds so different than what is often judgment. Judgment is, you're not a good person. You are written off. There's no hope for you. This kind of help is, I care about you. And I may not be right, but I care. Over 100 times in the New Testament, followers of Jesus are to journey with one another. That there's this whole one another relational context that happens in the church. And part of what comes along with that is that there are moments, sometimes courageous moments even, when we speak to people that we care about things that may be hard to hear in that moment. How do we do that? Ephesians tells us we will speak the truth in love. And boy, there's a balance there and a tension. And my guess is that every one of us has the tendency to fall over on one side of that balance or the other. That maybe we err a little bit more on the truth side, and sometimes that can sound unloving. Or we err on the loving side, and maybe we shade the truth a little bit. And the call is for both of those things to happen. And then how about this verse? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. What does that mean? That means when I know that there is somebody who is for me, somebody who has my back, somebody who cares about me, somebody who wants the best for me, and they say something that is difficult to hear, could it be that in that moment, what is hard to hear is actually help? That there is something that maybe they can see that I can't, and again, this is not assuming that everybody has it all right in any direction. But maybe what we need to do is be open enough to hear from the people that we know are for us. Several years ago now, when somebody on our staff came to me and they said, you know what I've noticed? That when people kind of come at you or there's conflict or, people get mad at you, whatever the case is, and, that happens, that you just kind of close that door, that you kind of write that off. And that makes it really hard, on the other side of that, for those relationships to continue. And you know what I liked the least about what he said? It's true. It was true. And in that moment, it didn't feel real good for somebody to say something like that to you. But it was true. And that's a little bit more like the dentist looking in there and giving us reality that we need to hear. But Jesus was telling us we never cross that line into the place where we say, well, and based on a limited perspective that I have, I'm going to write you off, going to condemn you. Those are two very different things. And so what does all of this, really help us to understand? Our hearts should be open to hear those who have our back. And could it be that maybe the most courageous thing that we can do in the context of relationship is maybe to see something in somebody that we care about, and it sounds maybe something like this, to say, you know what? Your anger, your temper is driving people away, and I care about you, but there's something there that's just hurting other people. Or you're drinking, or whatever other substance it might be, it seems like it's out of control, and it's not just affecting you, it's affecting some of the people around you. And it seems like you have prioritized your living girlfriend over
your relationship with God, and I care about you. Or the lies that you're telling make it really hard to have a trusted relationship with you. Those are courageous conversations. And again, that's not assuming we're always right about everything. But could it be in those moments, especially when we know that somebody is with us and for us, has our best intentions at heart, we need to be open to hear that. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. And it's really no different than what God has done for us. You know, God's spoken the truth in love to us. Jesus came and he pulled no punches. He says, you know what? On our own, we are hopelessly lost. But that's why he came. And so we're more jacked up than we ever feared. And at the same time, we are more loved than we ever dare hope. And both of those things are true. And so perhaps you've never taken that step across that line of faith and put your trust in Jesus. And all of that is because one day in this universe, there is a judge. It's not me and it's not you. But that judge came to our rescue. And everybody matters to him. And he invites you to trust him. Would you bow your heads together with me as I pray? So God, in a world like ours, it's sometimes hard to walk with each other because we all got stuff going on. But it's so much easier to see everybody else's junk rather than my own. And so God, give us the ability to be long-suffering with each other, to journey with each other and to recognize, yeah, you know what? I'm a work in progress too. And when it's my turn, I long for mercy. And if that's true about what we want to receive, help us to extend that. And God, thank you for who you are, for seeing us exactly the way that we are, and coming and offering us yourself, a relationship with you. And so God, we thank you for your love that many times is there for us in spite of ourselves. And may it cause these hearts of ours to be humble, to recognize that we're a work in progress. We're on a journey. And there's still some work you have to do to transform these hearts of ours. And so God, we ask you to lead us on together with you and experience more of what you have for us. And God, all along the way, may there be great thanks in these hearts because of all that we have received over and over again, your undeserved love. And we ask and pray that you'd lead us in that direction for your sake. So we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.